Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We are going to get this done, and we're going to get it done soon. And it's time for an up or down vote in Washington on health care reform. Tired of talking about it. Let's get it done.
The March 18th is an interesting date. As I say, our clock starts ticking when we get the final CBO report.
President Obama and Speaker Pelosi on the timing of the health reform voting endgame. And as you just heard on the news, that has now been pushed back from the 18th to the 21st, the end of next week. And with the headcount still uncertain, every vote in the House of Representatives will matter. Now, you may not think of New York City members' votes being in doubt, but at least one is. Democratic Congressman Elliot Engel, whose district covers parts of Rockland, Westchester, and the Bronx. Let's find out why. Congressman Engel, always good to have you on the program. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. It's always a pleasure to be on your show.
Basically, you're afraid the bill will cheat New York compared to other states. For example, because we're already generous with Medicaid. Explain the connection.
Well, there are really two things. First of all, none of us has seen the language, and my attitude is I don't want to buy a pig and a poke. I want to see the language. I'm the senior New Yorker on the Energy and Commerce Committee and on the Healthcare Subcommittee, and I think it's my obligation to protect my home state. You know, we're sort of given assurances, but short of seeing the language, I'm not going to sign off on it. We have, as you know, two bills that have passed, the House bill and the Senate bill. Mayor Bloomberg and Governor Patterson have both said that under the House bill, New York would get about $4 billion more per year in Medicaid funds than it currently gets. And under the Senate bill, New York would get $1 billion less funding than it currently gets. When the president talks about using the Senate bill as his base bill, well, that worries me. I want to, the devil's in the details. I want to see what the formula is. And the bottom line, of course, is how much money New York gets back. That's really the bottom line.
And explain that issue a little bit more, because I think it's really interesting. It has to do with New York already offering relatively generous Medicaid benefits compared to, say, a state like Mississippi, right?
Yes. What essentially happens, without going into too much of the details, is that states, so-called do-gooder states like New York, which have been generous in terms of providing health care for people that need it through the years, would not be compensated or reimbursed or would have the money coming our way as we move forward. But states like Mississippi, which did not do what they should be doing, would somehow get reimbursed to bring them up to everybody else's level. We don't think that's fair because as new enrollees come into the program, New York is going to have to shell out a lot more money under the Senate proposals. So we want a formula which says that do-gooder states like New York that have done right by its citizens in providing health care would not be penalized. I think that is only fair and equitable. And then, of course, there's another portion, which is called DSH funding. And basically, we have to make sure that, there's still going to be populations that will be underinsured or uncovered, and hospitals, particularly our public hospitals, will be expected to bear the burden of health care for them. And we need to make sure that so-called DSH funding makes New York a whole. And then I also want to say that when we look at these funding formulas, we look at the poverty levels across the whole country. Now, New York, obviously, and the surrounding metropolitan area, we're a high cost of living state. So what you need to survive in New York is a lot more in terms of money than you would need to survive again in Mississippi or Alabama. And so there's no differentiation in terms of cost of living in regions. And that's
Now, explain that a little bit more. Does that have to do with the price of health insurance on these exchanges that would be set up for individuals, or does that have to do with how many New Yorkers would be subsidized by the federal government rather than by the state to buy these individual policies? Is that it?
Yes. Yes, it's actually a little bit of both, but the fact of the matter is that because we're a high cost of living state, when you talk about the federal poverty level, well, the federal poverty level in New York is really much higher than the monies that we're going to get back, and that's really a problem. And the other piece of this is when you look at how the bill is funded. You know, the House bill funded it essentially where people who were making $1 million or more across the board were paying. It was sort of a graduated income tax type thing. That was knocked out in the Senate bill, and we're told, and again, we're only told because I haven't yet seen the language, that New York will pay a very large percentage of the total cost of the bill because, again, since we're a high cost of living state, people make more money in New York. And when we're talking about $250,000 or more paying, well, you know, $250,000 buys you a heck of a lot less in New York than it would in Mississippi.
Right.
And so that's a problem. So if we're going to pay more, which is you know, you have to accept it at some point, we don't want to be shortchanged on the other end. And this is a real, real problem.
So, listeners, you've heard these three concerns that Congressman Engel has with respect to New York getting shortchanged relative to other states in the Senate bill, which is the one that President Obama is now using as his bottom line template on the relative Medicaid funding, on the aid to hospitals that will still have uninsured people to treat, and on the subsidies to individuals buying insurance now on the exchanges. Are these things, New York listeners, good enough or bad enough, I should say, for Congressman Engel to vote no if he doesn't get satisfaction? 212-433-WNYC. Open phone here for Congressman Elliot Engel of the Bronx, Westchester, and Rockland. He had an op-ed on this that maybe some of you saw in the Daily News. Fix health bill or lose my vote was the headline. So at least sounds like he's serious about voting no if New York doesn't get what he sees as its fair share. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And here is Morna in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC. Hello, Morna.
Hi. I just want to say that if the health care reform doesn't pass, not only will thousands of people die, but the Democrats will lose their majorities in 2010 and 2012.
So are you saying look past these problems,
yes,
even if
positively.
They're in the... Just swallow it, live with it.
Yes.
For the greater good. Congressman?
Well, I hope that won't be the case. I called a meeting with Speaker Pelosi, and the delegation met with her. We expressed these concerns to her. I know she's trying to take care of them. You know, the problem is that the president has set what I think is an artificial cap on what the bill's cost would be. And as a result of that, you know, we're very, very limited. I mean, the House provisions, as I mentioned before, treated New York very, very well, and the Senate provisions did not. I mean, my bottom line is this. I know we're not going to get what the House did, but I don't want New York to lose money as a result. We're just talking about being fair and equitable here. We're not looking for a special deal for New York the way Senator Nelson, you know, did it for Nebraska. We just want equity. We don't want health care reform that gives New York even less money than we're getting now without health care reform. And I think that they can do it. But, you know, they can't take our votes for granted. If they think that they have our votes in their hip pocket, but I tell you right now, New York will do very poorly, and our state government will be burdened even more than it is, and it's just not right. So they have to understand that when at a time when they're taking care of everybody else's problems, they cannot take New York for granted. And again, I have to see the language before I'm going to vote for a bill. I voted for the health care bill when it came up, for the House bill several months ago. I'm for health care reform. I'm for single payer. I mean, and I'm for public option. So we're not getting single payer. We're not getting a public option. At least be fair and equitable to my home state.
Mark in Brooklyn, I think, supports the stand you're taking. Hi, Mark. You're on WNYC.
Hi. How are you?
All right.
I think that Congressman Engel should vote against the bill as well. I think that it's just costing New York so much money. It's so unfair. All the deals that have been going on are just so sour. And it's just going to cost New York State a heck of a lot of money.
Mark, for you, if they fix these three problems that the congressman has identified, would you then support a yes vote, or are you against it anyway?
I'm against it anyway. But certainly as a New Yorker, I'm against it.
Thank you for your call. And here's Gil in Rockland. You're on WNYC. Hi, Gil.
Hello. Hello, sir. I do appreciate Mr. Engel's concern Tom's biggest concern for the welfare of New Yorkers. But I can only tell you that we're so close, so very close to getting a health care bill that is, I think, for the most part, acceptable. That I can just tell you, I have a friend who's an audio engineer. I've worked with a lot of freelancers, and he and his wife make a middle-class lifestyle, and their health care is up to $13,000 a year. And why can't we begin to start helping people by passing this health care bill, and then we can go and try out and see how this will work for the country and not put a stop to it because of these. You know, I understand your point, but I just don't agree with you.
Congressman, go
ahead.
Well,
let me say this. I'm for health care reform. I have gone on all over the place on every television and radio program that'll have me, and I said that the current system is not sustainable financially. We have 47 million Americans who are uninsured. That's going to grow to 50, 60, 80, and 100, and it'll be many of us. Because our employers will either be dropping health coverage or people, as the gentleman said, cannot afford to pay this. And so it isn't somebody else's problem, the uninsured. It's going to be everybody's problem. We also, as you know, have a problem when insurance companies deny people coverage because of so-called pre-existing conditions. When people lose their jobs or change their jobs, they lose their insurance. And then when they finally get a new job, they get insured with another company, and they're told because they had cancer treatment or heart treatment with their previous job, it's a pre-existing condition, and they won't cover you. Insurance companies have put caps, annual caps, and lifetime caps on how much they're going to cover for people. So we need health care reform, and I want to vote for it. And I have not seen language, as no one has seen language. And all I'm saying is it's inconceivable to me that the Speaker and the White House, I'm in touch with the White House 10 times a day, that the White House and the Speaker would not respond to what New York needs. It's inconceivable to me. So I'm hoping that I'll be able to vote for it, but I want health care reform, but you know, it can't be on the backs of New Yorkers.
And I should say that what Gil said and the similar thing that Morna in Brooklyn said, that's the predominant comment on our board right now and on our comments page on our website. So, you know, it's like, given the enormity of health reform for the future of the nation, don't vote no just based on these concerns alone, even though they're valid concerns. So are you just trying to get more attention for these valid concerns, or are you really threatening a no vote?
I'm trying to get these valid concerns taken care of, and I want to see the change, and if there is a change, I'll be pleased to vote yes. But if there's not a change, I want to tell you that we're going to pass health care reform if we pass it, and we're not going to be able to change it. People who say, well, you know, if it doesn't work, you'll go back to the drawing boards. This is something, and we've seen the struggles, particularly in the Senate, and it's not something that we can just do and then say, oh, well, you know, we'll change it next year. We've got to get it right this time, and there's no reason not to get it right.
Give us your big picture take. The press isn't focusing much on your concerns, but is very much focusing on the 12 anti-abortion rights Democrats who think the Senate bill allows too much leeway for federal funding of insurance policies that might include abortion.
Right.
How do you think that'll get resolved, or will it?
Well, I mean, that's perfectly, right on the money of what I'm saying. If you're going to try to take care of the people who are against abortion, and you're going to try to take care of this group and that group and every other group, take care of New Yorkers. You know, we've got 29 representatives in the House. A few months ago, I sent a letter to Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, signed by 24 of my New York Democratic colleagues, saying that we want to be treated fairly. New York cannot be taken for granted.
So I get your point on that. Now I'm asking you to prognosticate on the abortion issue, because many commentators are saying there is no resolution to this.
Well,
the Senate is not going to go for the tougher restrictions that are in the House bill, and Stupak and his colleagues in the House Democrats against abortion rights are not going to back down on the House language. Do you see any resolution that's possible?
I do. I think that Nancy Pelosi has indicated that she is going to go with the Senate language, and while Bart Stupak, that probably means Bart Stupak will vote no. We've heard that some of the other anti-abortion Democrats are breaking away and say that they'll live with the Senate language. I heard the other day that one of the members who's been around here a long time, Dale Kildee from Michigan, said that it didn't have to be the Stupak language. Others have said that. So I suspect they'll lose a few votes when push comes to shove, but I don't think they're going to lose the block of 12 votes or whatever it is that Bart Stupak said.
They're so close. It's vote by vote in the House. It may be a one-vote margin, a five-vote margin. Do you happen to know about Congressman Scott Murphy from the district above yours in the Hudson Valley? He was a no vote the first time around because he thought it wasn't fiscally conservative enough. Is he gonna convert? Do you know him?
I know him. I haven't really asked him. A lot of the freshman Democrats who are in Republican districts find that it's a tough vote for them. Their constituents have overwhelmingly told them that they're opposed to the bill, and some of them find it very difficult. It's going to be a person-by-person vote. They're going to do whipping, and believe me, the vote's not going to be put on the floor unless they know that they have the votes.
That's why they're not voting tomorrow or on the 18th.
Right.
Because you don't have the votes yet.
Well, and we haven't seen the language. So, you know, I mean, if I'm satisfied with the language, I want nothing more than to vote for the bill. But I don't want to be taken for granted, okay. And I don't want New York to be punished.
Right. We just have 2 minutes left with Congressman Elliot Engel, Democrat from the Bronx and Westchester and Rockland. On one other issue, the House Democrats are banning all earmarks in legislation for corporations. The Republicans say if you're going to do that, it should also cover earmarks for not-for-profits. Where are you on the earmarks rules?
Well, I don't think earmarks are a bad thing, quite frankly. I bring a lot of federal dollars back to my district, and I do it for projects that are very important for my district. I've always done it for nonprofits. I've never done it for for-profit groups. And, you know, Republicans are hypocrites. When they took over Congress in 1994, they expanded earmarks fivefold. So for them now to try to be the party of purity, spare me. Just like they talk about fiscal responsibility, and when they're the ones that drove us into deficits as high as far as the eye can see. So I think if earmarks are handled properly, I think what we did was proper. For-profit groups would not get earmarks, but there are a lot of important nonprofits in my district that rely on federal money.
Why make that distinction? And we just have a minute left, because some people argue that, look, not every for-profit company is evil in some way. They want, you know, they're going to create jobs if they get these earmarks. That's a major reason why members of Congress bring these earmarks home. And not every not-for-profit is pure as the driven snow. We've seen all the scandals in New York City with, city council members and members of the state legislature who use nonprofit organizations as slush funds.
That's true, but there are a lot of good nonprofits in my district, community groups that really need the funding. And the bottom line is really this: if Congress eliminated earmarks tomorrow, the president would still have all the earmarks he wants. So it's like unilateral disarmament. You know, we're not going to do it, but the federal bureaucrats who work in the White House and in the agencies, they're going to decide. I was elected to know what's best for my district, not some federal bureaucrat in Washington or some staffer in the White House. So if we're going to eliminate earmarks, eliminate them from everybody. But the proposals are only to eliminate congressional earmarks. And I think we're in better knowledge to know what's best for our districts than someone who's never been in the district.
All right. Well, you heard the news at the top of the hour. Speaker Pelosi hoping to have a vote in the House on health care reform by March 21st. Up in the air still, Congressman Elliot Engel from the Bronx, Westchester, and Rockland County. Thank you so much for coming on with us.
My pleasure, Brian. Always a pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, ground is broken at the Atlantic Yards project site. We will hear a conservative argument against the use of eminent domain for Atlantic Yards. Stay with us.